everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. And away we go. It's Thursday, June 22nd, 2023, on The Buckmaster Show. My buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and all of our live line when we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She is also has a chair in at the Weil Center in Integrative Medicine. Let's go now on the live line to Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill. And you?
Doing pretty well. As they say, hanging in there, Dr. Mazes. We're going to talk a little bit about breakfast. I don't know what you do for breakfast, but a lot of people, they either skip it or they have maybe a cup of coffee, maybe a yogurt. But I want to talk about a low-carbohydrate breakfast compared to, say, low-fat breakfast. And we're talking about people who have type 2 diabetes. Which might be better?
Yeah, so this is so interesting. Breakfast, sometimes people say it's the most important meal. Sometimes people, this included my children when they were young, they had no interest in eating breakfast. And there's a lot of controversy about breakfast. So there's a new study that just came out yesterday, and it looked at people who had type 2 diabetes who were divided into two groups and randomly assigned to be on either a low-fat or a low-carb diet. So the people who were on the low-carb, it was higher fat, and they basically were eating eggs for breakfast. And the people who were on the higher carb or lower fat were eating muffins and yogurt. And what they found is that people who have diabetes did significantly better in terms of their overall maximum blood sugar and the time in which they remained in a good, healthy range. So it does look like eating a higher fat, higher protein, lower carb breakfast might be a strategy for people with type 2 diabetes.
What, and could you briefly outline what type 2 diabetes is compared to, what's the thinking on that compared to, say, type 1?
Yeah, so great question. Type 1 diabetes is usually an autoimmune disease where, for one reason or another, the islet cells in the pancreas, these are the cells that produce insulin, which helps you manage your blood sugar, are pretty much destroyed. And so you have to have insulin to be normal. In type 2 diabetes, it's not that the islet cells have been destroyed. It's rather that people have what we call insulin resistance, which means that their body doesn't respond as well to insulin. And so they also have elevated blood sugar, but the treatment strategies are different. And I hope that anyone listening who has either pre-diabetes or a relatively new diagnosis of diabetes type 2 knows that this is a reversible disease. This is something that if you're motivated to make dietary changes, you could actually get rid of your diabetes in a very high percentage of cases. And one strategy is this. It's eating fewer, especially simple carbohydrates, which would include that baguette or muffins or croissants or those kinds of foods. And from this study, we learn, especially first thing in the morning.
Well, I have kind of changed my breakfast. I have tried to eliminate all the breads and the muffins and concentrating on right now doing yogurt with some granola, blueberries, maybe some dried cherries. And it's amazing, Dr. Mazes, how one bowl of that, what I just described, will hold me until the lunch hour.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I sometimes suggest people throw some walnuts in there, which also can help with your satiety and keeping you full a little longer. But I'll tell you an interesting story. In this study, what they did is they used glucose monitors. And now if you, look behind the shelf at the pharmacy, you'll see on the shelf there are these continuous glucose monitors. And lots of people use them, even people without diabetes. So I was interested, and I used one. And you essentially slap it on your arm, and it inserts very superficially into the subcutaneous tissue, and it stays on for 2 weeks. And I did it because I was interested in learning, well, what foods make my blood sugar go up? And the only food for me was oatmeal. And
really?
I was eating an oatmeal that was a steel cut, so you would consider it a whole grain. Most people would think that was a healthy meal. I had it with walnuts and flaxseed. And the thing I took away, and it's, one of the things that we're moving towards, is this more personalized approach that we actually can learn, well, what foods are you particularly sensitive to? So, for example, some people say, well, don't eat bananas if you have diabetes or prediabetes because it's going to bump your blood sugar. Well, maybe, but maybe not for everybody. And this helps you discern how you do. And indeed, in this study, that's what they did, is they had people wear this continuous glucose monitor for 2 weeks to help look at that continual reading of the blood sugar and how they responded to this breakfast of eggs versus breakfast of a muffin plus a yogurt.
That is so interesting, because I have put the oatmeal aside for the particular breakfast I had described a few minutes ago. So maybe maybe I'm headed in the right direction there. Maybe maybe I will keep off the oatmeal for a while. We're speaking with Dr. Victoria Mays, is executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. She is, of course, internationally recognized in as a leader in integrative medicine. While we're speaking about food, let's talk a little bit about meat. The United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA, apparently is going to crack down, Dr. Mazes, on misleading meat labels. And we see them everywhere in the supermarket. Free range and no antibiotics. What's this all about?
Yeah, so this is news from the United States Department of Agriculture, and when they actually did some research, and this was research by a couple of different researchers. One was the animal welfare group Farm Forward, another was the Animal Welfare Institute. They found that while often the food companies said that their meat and poultry were, as you said, free range or raised without antibiotics, sometimes the words all natural, grass fed, that it turned out this just simply was not true. So, for example, in a study that was published in 2022, 42% of the beef cattle that were labeled raised without antibiotics, they found antibiotics. And in another 2023 study by the Animal Welfare Institute, they looked at 100 different meat and poultry products, and 80% of the claims were not substantiated.
Wow.
So I think as consumers, this is really upsetting. I mean, people pay considerably more at a store to get grass-fed meat, to get organic meat, to get antibiotic-free meat, and it's pretty upsetting to find out that their false claims.
So the USDA, what can they do about it? Can they, I don't know if they can up the investigation into who's selling what?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're planning to do, is they're planning to strengthen their processes to make sure that the claims are accurate and substantiated. And this was actually demanded by the United States Senate when the results, that there was false labeling came out.
Do you know of any websites that one can go to check on a particular vendor who is claiming to have to have free-range meats or no antibiotics?
Well, I wish I could tell you, you know, this is the place to go to that, you know, can just guarantee. This may be one area where local is a lovely way to go. We do in Arizona have ranchers who raise meat that are grazed, that are grass fed and finished, that are not using antibiotics. And so sometimes people buy a share and, you know, you're supporting local ranchers, local farmers in that way. You can have a conversation. Maybe you can even see what their ranch looks like and be a little bit more sure that you're getting what you're paying for.
And it doesn't have to be just meat. We sometimes, well, not sometimes, but many products now, Dr. Mazes, as you know, are labeling all natural. And I think the USDA is also going to be looking at pretty much as many of these false and misleading labels as possible.
Yes, but I do want listeners to know that all natural doesn't mean anything. Organic means something. Grass finished is supposed to mean something. But all natural is a marketing term that doesn't actually have an assigned meaning. So it's just something that they say, oh, consumers like to see this, so we put it on. Yeah.
All right. We're going to pause right here with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes, or you can find her at azcim.org. And she's been doing a really popular podcast. She's been co-hosting, really, the podcast. They titled it Body of Wonder. She co-hosts that with Dr. Andrew Weil. All right, we'll have more with Dr. Mazes after we take a break. Buckmaster on a Thursday continues. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Tomorrow, our Friday focus interview, we will have the chief with us, the chief of the fire department, Tucson Fire Department. Chuck Ryan will be here along with my buddy Tim Steller, award-winning columnist from the Arizona Daily Star. But now we continue to talk health with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, we've been hearing a lot about gas-burning stoves, and there seems to be a lot of confusion about this. Let's talk a little bit about it. What's going on?
Well, it's interesting because it feels like this has become a politicized issue.
Yeah.
But it really shouldn't be. We know that we can be impacted by different kinds of pollutants. There are outdoor pollutants, like if you stand behind a bus and you smell that exhaust, or maybe you're stuck in bad traffic and you're getting exhaust in your nose. Days when the air quality is really bad for, you know, one reason or another. We all know and accept that. And it turns out that the research has begun to demonstrate that our gas stoves increase the levels of benzene in our house. And benzene is linked to cancer. So we just need to be smart about this and to start think about how do we minimize the effect.
How do we?
Well, great question. And there are a number of answers. The answer that it feels has gotten political is maybe we need to move away from using gas for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are new electricity called induction stoves that people say, I haven't used one personally, but that they're really great for cooking on, that they heat very evenly, and they would not emit any of this benzene. So if you're buying new appliances for your house, you have a new house or you're replacing, you might think about getting an induction stove and oven instead of a gas just to minimize this. But replacing your stove and your oven, of course, are expensive. So you have other options. For example, I like to have a cup of tea in the morning, and I have an electric kettle, so I don't have to boil water using my stovetop, and that is good. You're using it a bit less. I have a toaster oven in my house, and so that is also electric, and using that rather than heating up the whole oven when that makes sense for whatever I'm preparing, like a piece of toast or something, you know, that is going to reduce the amount of benzene that's in my house. The other things you do, and we all know this, we have a ventilator. Most people have a ventilator over their stove and oven. We should be turning it on because that is a way of venting some of that benzene out of the house and opening the windows, maybe not when it's 104 outside,
yeah,
but other times of year, opening the windows, ventilation is also a really good idea. There's a cute little saying, which is the answer to pollution is dilution, diluting the amount of pollutants by bringing in fresh air.
So there has been quite a bit of research on this. Most recently, Stanford University scientist Dr. Mazes measured the benzene from gas stoves in 87 California and Colorado homes in 2022. They published their results in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, and they did find both natural gas and propane ovens did emit some, I don't know how dangerous, but there was above well-established health, above the health, well-established health benchmarks.
Yes. So it is dangerous. It is akin to the amount of exposure that you'd get from secondhand tobacco smoke. And we're all really cognizant that obviously it's better not to smoke out at all, but if you do smoke, to smoke outdoors. Again, that is going to be a much better ventilated space than inside a house. And what they found is that when you have the burner on high or you have the oven at 350 degrees or higher, the secondhand tobacco smoke benzene level is present, and it doesn't just stay in the kitchen. It can actually move around the house. It could end up in the bedroom. And so using that ventilation, and I know nobody really likes how noisy those fans are. We have to figure out a way to make them less noisy, I think. Opening windows are going to be helpful. The other thing is that it has been estimated that the benzene from gas stoves may be responsible for almost 13% of childhood asthma cases. So especially if your child has asthma, doing those other things, using an electric kettle, increasing the ventilation, using the fan, is going to be important to help protect your child's lungs.
And of course, the gas industry, Dr. Mazes, they want to have a say in all of this, and you can imagine what their response is.
Yeah, I have seen their response, and you know, I find it troubling when industries fight the science. It has been common, you know, for years. The industry fought that tobacco was a cause of cancer, and that happily has now gone away. I think this is another example of where that we're in this kind of gray zone, chaotic period, and I would recommend to your listeners that they be aware of this and that they take proper precautions. Benzene has been shown by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to be linked to leukemia and lymphoma, and so it's not something we want to just laugh at or, you know, ignore. We want to take reasonable steps.
How about an update on how things are going? We haven't had an update from you with the construction project of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Where are we in that project, Dr. Mazes?
Well, the building is now fully framed, which is super exciting, and they are working on the interior. It is slated to be completed in November, and we are supposed to be moving in January. And then we will be having events to which we would love to invite the public. One of our events will be conference, our Integrative Medicine Summit, which will take place on April 25th and 26th. We're still nailing down the days for our grand opening, but we'll have lots of exciting opportunities for the public to engage with us, and we look forward to that.
How the Center for Integrative Medicine, is it, how many centers are there like this in the United States?
So the good news is that integrative medicine is really growing as a field. We have an organization called the Consortium for Integrative Medicine and Health, and half of the medical schools in the United States belong to that consortium, and that requires that they be doing integrative medicine. So it's really grown over the years. But I would say there's not another academic program or other kind of program quite like ours. We have the largest training program in the world for integrative medicine physicians who want to become fellowship trained, so deeply trained to practice integrative medicine. And we also have a program that embeds into earlier training for doctors, residency training, and that's being licensed to 116 different kinds of residencies: family medicine, internal medicine, pediatrics, psychiatry, OBGYN, preventive medicine, and this is worldwide. So we're very proud of the influence that the University of Arizona Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine is having in growing the field of integrative medicine and in training the people who lead these centers across the world.
And young doctors are finding this an attractive field for them.
Yes, young doctors are absolutely interested and excited and are, really embracing this kind of training, which I think bodes very well for a future where people want an integrative medicine doctor, they can find one. And if your listener is looking for an integrative medicine doctor, we list our graduates, the ones who want to be listed anyway, on our website. And so you can go to the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine if you just Google that. And then when you get to our page, you could say, find an integrative practitioner. And that's right on the front page. And you could find the kind of doctor that's a good fit for your needs.
All right, Dr. Mays, it's always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you in July. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mays, is executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mays is co-hosts the podcast Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mays's or find her at azcim.org. Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. That's coming up next on Buckmaster.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things in their 53rd year of business. GreenThingsAZ.com. Their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by now. They are ready and able to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. Outstanding website, first stop in making those travel dreams come true. Now, Ryan Hansen, who is just back in Arizona from what I understand, Rhino, is a very productive visit to Washington, D.C.
Exactly. You wonder, in the travel industry, outside of seeing the monuments and going to the White House, what, pray tell, would someone at Bon Voyage Travel be doing in D.C.? And we were doing our civic duty, Bill. It was the trade organization that represents all travel advisors and travel agencies in the United States is called the American Society of Travel Advisors. And we put together a legislative day where we had 225 advisors from all over the country. In fact, every state was represented. And we stormed Capitol Hill and had multiple meetings with our congressional representatives to talk about the travel industry and kind of pick up on a couple of specific policy issues that are really helpful to the agency world, but just as much it goes to that traveler, too. As we know, the consumer needs to be protected. And we can kind of talk about that. But, Bill, I'm telling you what, I had my hand over my heart. It was God bless America. I loved it because you really see government in action, and I felt like I was doing my part.
So, Ryan Hansen, what does ASTA, what are they specifically want and hoping for out of the visit, and what changes would you like to see you and your colleagues in this business?
You know, on behalf of all the travel advisors, ASTA does talk with legislative members a lot about different priorities, and it ranges in topics from bed taxes to HR-related issues, but this specific visit was all around two points. One was the FAA Reauthorization Act, and some people may say, well, what does that mean? And all it does is the FAA every 5 years puts out a whole laundry list of information and regulations that the Department of Transportation will enforce on airlines, on pilots, on travel agencies, all related to air travel. It's the purchase of airline tickets, the refunding of airline tickets, how the airplane is maintained, how it is cleaned, etc. There's a couple of specific things that we were fighting for, and one of them was to make sure that the consumer is protected with those refunds. As we know, cancellations happen, and we're trying to advocate not only for us, but for consumers to be refunded in a timely fashion, and that the consumer knows, hey, American Airlines, if you bought your ticket through a travel advisor, if American Airlines took that money, then American Airlines is responsible for that refund, and we want consumers to get their money back in a timely fashion. There were some other real disclosure issues that we talked about with the members of Congress to make sure that consumers are fully aware of everything that's happening in the airline industry, from fees to taxes, everything that goes into your airline costs, but also the maintenance of everything. That should be disclosed on a website for all to see in the United States. So that's what we were pushing for with this reauthorization bill that will have to be resolved by the end of September, because the one that is currently in act is expiring. So this will be something that the congressional members will be voting on and working towards. So that was the first point, but I'm sure that that helps you as a traveler.
Well, there's so much money at stake. Tourism is such a huge industry, and the tourism industry, the travel and tourism industry, should have a seat at the table, a cabinet position. Is that going to happen, Ryan Hansen?
That's the second piece of what we were working towards. The United States is the only member of the G20 that does not have, either in the high-level commerce position or the cabinet-level position, to talk about travel and tourism, to make decisions, to be informed and sit at the table. I mean, you remember how long it took the United States to allow inbound travelers who were non-citizens into the United States without a vaccine. And now, granted, that was heavily regulated by the CDC, but there wasn't anybody on the travel and tourism side of things to talk at that table. And so that was what we were working towards. And as you're probably aware, Bill, when you get on Capitol Hill, to get a position set up, there's two things that have to happen. You have to have Congress appoint this position, and then you have to find the money for it. Appropriations have to come alongside, right? This person's not working for free. So last year when I was in D.C., just about at this same time, it was all about the appointment through what was called the Visit America Act. And so we convinced and got – it was really bipartisan support. No one – it wasn't a controversial topic. Most of the congressional members felt strongly that travel and tourism impacts so many people and that the seat at the table needed to happen. So there will be an Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Travel and Tourism appointed. That was done last year. This was all about trying to find the $3.5 million that it takes to fund this position in time. And so it will be worked on in the year-end budget that Congress works towards at the end of the year, but we needed to get in front of them to try to make sure that that's not something that gets cut. And we see that impacting every American that wants to travel. And it's not just international travel. It's domestic as well. So for those listeners that think, oh, this is only for foreign affairs and that type of travel, not so. This is for all types of travel, and we think it's super important.
This would really streamline the process, not just for the ASTA, the American Society of Travel Agents, but for the consumer as well. Because without this, and where have we been without this cabinet-level official? Different agencies have been overseeing different tasks.
Yeah, you have Department of Transportation that gets involved. You have the FAA is involved. And then, as we talked about just a second ago, then the CDC starts, their voice is the one at the table. And of course, from a health and safety standpoint, it should have a significant voice at the table. But from regulatory things to maintenance requirements, to protections for consumers, for travelers, to not overtaxing and overburdening our travelers. I mean, if you look at your hotel bill, depending on the city that you go to, there could be multiple bed taxes, city taxes, county taxes. And so this is where ASTA steps in, and having a seat at the table at the commerce level, at the cabinet level, could help consumers not have to just bear the burdens of all the different counties and cities that you go to, and really make it as clean and as easy. And you want it transparent as a traveler as well. And having that seat at the table, having that voice of the traveler, of the agency, of the hotels and car rental supplier partners would be absolutely important.
Wouldn't it be wonderful when you look at a hotel, booking a hotel, that you the price you see on the internet would say this is the bottom line. It includes all taxes and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. As a consumer, we find that in many verticals when you go buy something, you just want it. What's the bottom line price that I'm going to pay? And like I mentioned, you go to San Francisco, you're in New York City, those hidden taxes that are in there, they come in various creative ways, right? It's a tourism tax, it's a bed tax, it's a service tax, it's a county tax. You want to know that going into it and not after your final payment or as you're going to check out, heaven forbid, that should be disclosed up front. That's just one of a myriad of topics that will be, housed within this Assistant Secretary of Travel and Tourism's priorities and responsibilities.
All right, Ryan Hansen, when we continue with this month's edition of Travel Talk, I want to dig a little deeper into what you and your colleagues are saying about the state of the industry. It looks like a summer of, I was going to say summer of love, but it's a summer of travel for sure. Let's get your input on that, Ryan, after we take the break. Be right back with Ryan Hansen.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a Thursday edition. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year to take that getaway over to Silver City, especially as our temperatures go up toward 110 and beyond next week. When you go over to Silver City, it's going to be cooler, maybe 15 degrees. At least cooler in the high country. So a great getaway could be on you, and I hope it is on your radar. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the website for what to do, lots of recreation opportunities, and where to stay. It's Travel Talk now with Ryan Hansen, part two of our monthly segment with Mr. Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, just back from a very important national meeting with colleagues from the American Society of Travel Agents. Ryan Hansen, what is the state of your industry this summer?
Well, that was one of the things we impressed upon the members of Congress, was that not only is the travel industry booming, but travel agency business is back and better than ever. In fact, I think almost every agency I spoke with, and again, there was 225, maybe a little bit more than that, agencies represented. And to an agency, they were saying they are going to have a record year for booking travel in 2023. And you and I have talked here recently about travel and a phrase in travel that was kind of thrown out at the beginning of 2023 called revenge travel. And that was a phrase that was used to somewhat capture the thought of the American citizen that wants to get out and get going after having, 2 to 3 years of their vacations somewhat taken from them because of the pandemic. So they were, I'm going to go out this year and take 2 or 3 vacations this year alone. And so there was a little bit of, I want to say, Bill, maybe some concern even in the industry that it wouldn't be sustainable, that it would be a big bubble of travelers going maybe this summer, and then it was going to level off or even peter out after this revenge season of their life had passed. But that is not so. We're seeing travelers book further and further out into 24 and 2025, trying to get their bucket list trips picked out. They know they want to go, and they're going in droves back to Europe. The Europe boom is absolutely in full effect. And I would say, Bill, if you're still interested in going to Europe this summer, which is typically when most people want to go, you better call in a hurry, because airline tickets are expensive. It's a very expensive proposition, especially in France and Italy and the UK, which are the primary destinations. But if I were you, I would maybe consider a last-minute trip to Alaska this summer and start planning Europe for next summer, because the travel boom is really on fire. And so that was also discussed when we were on the Hill. Just yesterday, Bill, I had a great chance to sit in the offices of both senators, Senator Mark Kelly and Senator Kristen Sinema, met with their legislative aides. Actually, the chief of staff we met with from Representative Eli Crane's office, Juan Siscomani, Representative Siscomani, who is District 2 here. Many of your listeners here in Tucson have Representative Siscomani as their representative. We were in his office first thing yesterday morning, and that was something we talked about, was the travel industry is important. It's just been demonstrated by Americans how important travel is to them with the volume of travelers that are out and about right now.
That's interesting. You were seated in Congressman Siscomani's office probably just prior to his interview here on my show yesterday. So he was very busy, I know, running back and forth with a lot of different votes. But I'm glad you had some time with him, Rhino.
Yeah, we did. He's a very good man, and I'm very supportive of what he's trying to stand for. I'm glad he was on the show yesterday. That's fantastic. And I had some exchanges with him even just this morning over email. He's very, very good. But how about this one, Bill? I thought your listeners, we love throwing out some travel statistics and just to keep people in tune with what's going on. But according to Hopper.com, Hopper is a website that aggregates airline travel for many U.S. citizens. More than 24 million people will depart from airports in the United States from June 29th through July 5th.
Oh,
so the holiday weekend that is coming up could possibly be one of the busiest on record here coming next week. So we talked about the summer travel, and you and I typically look at international destinations, but regardless of domestic or international air travel, 24 million people will be out and about. So word to the wise, get to the airport early. Make sure you don't miss your flights.
Yeah, and Rhino, as you said, the European situation, it might be a little late for some people, and it is going to be very, very crowded over there. Let's talk about some alternatives. You mentioned an Alaskan cruise, but there are other cruise possibilities. Just there's even a cruise that does the whole West Coast.
Yeah, there are Pacific Coastals. There's Mississippi River cruises.
There you go.
to jump across the pond, right, and have to deal with that airfare. Like we said, the crowds of Europe, you can travel on the Mississippi River. Viking has a tremendous brand new product that still, I believe, may have some small inventory available to you. But if you're looking and Europe is still on your list, look for maybe an off the beaten path. How about the Czech Republic or Croatia instead of Italy? You can still get that real Mediterranean feel, the walled cities of Dubrovnik and Split up and down the Adriatic coast there are just wonderful destinations, and you will feel like you're in Italy. There will be less crowds. The food is just as good. We talked about that destination as being a very emerging destination, but get into the Czech Republic. Don't be afraid to get over to Vienna and Prague and Budapest. Those are beautiful romantic cities that kind of fall after your typical Rome, Paris, Barcelona, London cities in regards to attraction.
And if you want to go to Europe, you don't necessarily have to go to the mainland of Europe. There's Iceland, and a place that I like very much, very underrated. It's getting on a lot of people's radar screens, the Azore Islands of Portugal. Wonderful destination. I like to call it the Atlantic Hawaii. It's as green as Hawaii, but it's cooler. It's like 60 to 70 degrees year round.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful islands there. On our next call next month, Bill, I will be coming back with some expertise as my family will be on a cruise. We're cruising all around Scotland and Ireland, another destination that may be slightly off the beaten path, albeit Dublin's a pretty popular place. Edinburgh and Glasgow are very, you know, famous places for people to travel to. But I'll be on a cruise, and I'll tell you, one of the spots I'm really interested and excited to go to are the Shetland Islands. So getting way, way up north as we cruise around the tip, the northern tip of Scotland. So I'll bring back some great insight for listeners about Northern Europe and the British Isles.
I love that that series. It's a BBC series called Shetland. I love that series. I'm waiting for the latest season to now be available. But I think they've done maybe seven seasons, and it's about a detective who works the Shetland Islands. And people may not realize it. You probably know it, Ryan, but they're way up there. Shetland Islands are on same latitude as Norway. So the same, actually, Bergen, Norway, there's actually a flight over from the Shetlands to Bergen. You can do that flight. I think it's about an hour. So that's how close it is to Scandinavia.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be very cool, so a nice reprieve from the Tucson summer heat. So another place we talk about, obviously, Alaska is a lot closer, but the Shetland Islands, and we're traveling with our kids, Bill, so we're trying to find, obviously, some special castles and museums and things to do, but I've got two really cool experiences. One of them on the Shetland Islands, we're going to go and have an experience with Sheltie dogs and Shetland ponies.
Cool.
So get up close and personal to some animals and the wildlife in the Shetland Islands. And then when we're at port in Aberdeen, Scotland, we are going to be going to a Scottish Highlander game.
Ooh.
So we will be seeing where they tip the big tree,
big poles.
Lumber, the big poles, and they'll be, you know, dancing and trying to keep their balance on the tree trunks in the water. It's going to be a whole Scottish Highlander games. So I think my two boys, I think maybe I will probably enjoy that just as much as them. But lots to do for every traveler.
Well, I call those hernia makers for those guys with the big poles.
I hope they don't ask for volunteers, because I'm going to make sure I keep my hand down.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice, Mr. Ryan Hansen. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill. Love talking travel.
All right. BVTravel.com is the Bon Voyage Travel website, your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. We love talking travel with Ryan Hansen. Okay, on behalf of Mr. Hansen and John, engineering and producing our show, that will wrap up the Buckmaster program. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview, the chief will be here, the chief of the fire department. He's always a great interview, Chuck Ryan. Have a great afternoon, everybody.